To greet each one here this morning and a welcome in the name of Jesus. It's been good to be here ready this morning, and I certainly trust that as we look further into God's Word, that His Word could be spoken in a way that could be glorified and honorable to Him. Open your Bibles with me to James chapter 3. I've been going through the book of James for messages. Look at the first 12 verses of James chapter 3. Thought of the message this morning, the use and the abuse of the tongue. Now notice here in chapter 3 here, the first two words that he wrote here was "my brethren." Why did James find it necessary to address brethren in this subject? I think he's speaking to you and I this morning. He's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to God's people. And I just concluded that the fact is, in our humanity, we probably use our tongue way too often in abusive ways, even though we call ourselves brethren, maybe even among ourselves or among our people. James chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a mountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive leaves, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." It's very obvious here in this portion that James is speaking about the little member in our mouth. It's a little tool. And it can be used in a beautiful way. It can be used in an upbuilding. It can be used to build relationships. It can be used to encourage. It can be used to speak words of wisdom, to speak life into the lives of people we meet and converse with. Or it can be used to do the extreme opposite, just simply to tear down and to discourage and depress and destroy. It can be used as healing oil on wounded hearts, or it can be used as poison that simply hurt and kill. That's our tongue. But you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and I believe what's in the heart is going to come forth through our tongue. The fact of the matter is, we all talk, we all speak. Some of us speak more than others. The average word spoken by a person is between 10 and 15,000 words a day. There's lots and lots of scripture that refer to our speech, our words. It talks about those who speak a lot. The Bible emphasizes control of the tongue as simply a matter of great importance. And that's what we'd like to look at this morning. Just a number of verses in Psalm and Proverbs, or some in Ecclesiastes, that speak about our tongue or our language. Proverbs 10 verse 14 says, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Just the opposite. Proverbs 10 verse 32 says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Proverbs 12 verse 13 says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Chapter 13 verse 3 says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 18 verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. And I think that verse is simply telling us those who love to talk, or those who talk before they think, they suffer the consequences. They that love it shall eat the fruit of it. We're gonna suffer the consequences of what we speak and what we say. Proverbs 21 verse 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Then we go into Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Colossians 4 verse 6, 4 verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Then Jesus speaks those words in Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. He says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. And I think we could stop with simply reading those verses, and if we take those verses with us, and we contemplate them, we think about them, and we apply them to our lives, there's nothing else but have to be said here this morning. But you know, the scripture speaks about different tongues. It speaks about the lying tongue. It speaks about flattering tongues, deceitful tongues, backbiting tongues, and so forth. And again, he's speaking to brethren here this morning. The words we use will justify us or condemn us. Think about that. Our words are recorded. You know, in a little while, when the service is over here, we'll be either talking or we'll be listening. There'll be various different conversations going. Possibly what we've been doing this week or last week. Maybe we'll be speaking about the Sunday school lesson. Maybe it'll be about the message or our children. Maybe it'll be something in your life that you share with someone. Maybe it'll be something that's going on in life that you don't think is fair. You may speak about that. But it's all being recorded. And if you think about the events of the world, thousands and thousands of people, millions of people, you know, whether it's our government and the animosity going on there, maybe there's a stadium where there's thousands of people gathered. Some are upset, some are cheering. It's all being recorded. Somewhere in the courts of heaven, whether it's a million angels or how it's being recorded, I don't know. But the Bible tells us our words are recorded. And that's what makes our speech very, very important. It makes it makes our communication very important. Whether it comes out of our mouth, or you send it by a text, maybe it's a WhatsApp message or social media, it's being recorded. It's our conversation. James was inspired here to write about the tongue. In fact, he mentions speech in every one of the five chapters in the book of James. Chapter 1, verse 26. He says this way, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is in vain. Chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? can faith save him? Speaks about saying a man has faith and doesn't have works. Chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And you know, that's the portion we like to speak about. And then he goes on into that portion we read this morning and brings out some illustrations and what of the tongue and how we can what we can compare it to. Verse 1, James even cautions believers, remembers he's speaking to brethren. He cautions us about the greater responsibilities to those who teach the Word of God. You know, a teacher's primary tool is the tongue. And he's given us a warning here. It involves a tremendously important principle. Larger responsibilities involves greater guilt. And if that responsibility is abused, I think there's a greater guilt with it. And you know, he mentions here about in chapter 3, verse 1, knowing we shall receive, says, be not many masters. And I think if you look at that, the fact of being many masters, he's simply talking to teachers or those who teach, those who speak. And there's a lot more words being spoken from a teacher or a speaker than just your ordinary conversation. Verse 2, James says that we all stumble and sin. And if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. I think he's just simply bringing the illustration out there that we do all fail. We do all stumble. We all stumble and fail. And if we never offend, the same is a perfect man. Then he goes on and illustrates the powerful influence of the tongue. Verse 3, he says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that we may obey, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And you think about a horse. He's naturally wild. He's untamed. He's hard to control. But you know, with skill, with patience, with training, this animal, the horse, can be regulated primarily through the use of a small instrument in his mouth called a bit or a bridle. Just so the tongue, only small in size, can be powerful to its effect. He brings the illustration out of about a big ship, which though it's great, it's huge. They're driven by fierce winds, yet they're controlled and they're turned about by a very small helm. A very small instrument. I doubt if James knew anything about large ocean liners that we see today, but apparently there was ships of some size in his day because he used that illustration. You know, if you think about the ships that are traveling the seas today, some of the largest ones are over 1,000 feet long, yet there's only one very small rudder that turns that ship. One man using only one hand can turn the lever and steer that massive ship. James illustrates the tongue. Though only small in size, yet it can do mighty, mighty things, both for the good and for the bad. Like the two illustrations here, we go into verse 5. He says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. If you look at that word matter, it's translated forest. A great forest can become a heap of ashes as a result of just one careless little spark. You know, it's the same way with the tongue. The damage which the tongue can cause is like the damage caused by a fire. You know, fire is painful. So are the burns caused by hot words. Fire spreads, so does gossip and evil speaking. Fire consumes, just so careless words consume character. And you know, it's very, very difficult to overestimate the power of the tongue. The tongue and the bits, like the bit in a horse's mouth, or like a small rudder, or like a small spark that ignites a large fire. All of these are small, but yet they are very powerful, can be very powerful. So it is with the tongue. It can sway men to violence, or it can move them to noble actions. It can instruct the unlearned and encourage the sorrowful, or it can destroy reputations and spread distrust and hate. James is showing us in these verses that some very small things can produce some very significant results. And the tongue is one of those that has a tremendous scope of power if it is misused. Moving on to verses 6 through 8, it brings out the nature of the tongue. It brings out a vicious nature of the tongue. It can turn brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, nation against nation. And he uses three commonplace examples here as well to illustrate how the tongue, wrongly used, can be very destructive in nature. There again, it uses a fire, a devastating fire. It uses an untamed beast and a deadly poison are all used to illustrate the havoc wrought by the tongue. The first illustration here in verse 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. James is describing this kind of a tongue to an undisciplined person and telling us what his fire is by nature and not by what his tongue is by the grace of God. It's a fire, a world of iniquity. Fire, there again, it can be a great blessing if it's used in the right way. It can drive the chill and dampness from our houses. You know, you think about, I always enjoy, you know, sitting around a campfire. It's a pleasant experience when it's in control, when it's controlled. We use fire to cook our food. We use it to warm our bodies. But when it's out of control, when fire gets out of control, it lets a path of desolation and destruction. So it is with the tongue. The phrase there, world of iniquity, in verse 6, points to the vastness of the evil which the tongue is capable of producing. It defileth the whole body. It simply means that the tongue wrongly used pollutes man's whole nature. The phrase there is set on fire of hell is a pretty stark and striking statement. And I think it's just simply explained this way. It can make the whole of life like a blazing hell. Just life becomes out of control if our tongue is out of control. Verse 7 says, for every kind of beast and birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tame and has been tamed by mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. We ourselves, in our own humanity, in our own human nature, cannot control and tame our own tongue. Fierce beasts, forests and wild birds of the jungle have all been tamed, but yet no man can tame his own tongue on his own. You take the word, you look at that word tame there in verse 7, it simply means to overpower, to subdue, and to conquer. It doesn't say the tongue cannot be controlled, but it does declare that man in himself cannot tame it. Only by God's help can we do it. One who comes to Jesus Christ as a penitent sinner and believes the message of the cross will know the forgiveness of sins and will find that Comforter lives within himself and helps him control his tongue and make his tongue, his bitter tongue, sweet. Quote that I picked up simply says, no man can tame the wicked tongue. No man his soul can save. Only God can cleanse the heart. Only make the tongue behave. And that's very true. In verse 8, we find it's unruly. It's evil, it's full of dead poison, a deadly poison. It's an unruly evil. And that again, our conversation. You know, husbands and wives can lash out on each other with the tongue. Parents and children can rail at each other. Workers and managers accuse each other with their tongues. Thus, it becomes full of deadly poison. You know, if you have a poisonous drug, it doesn't need much. It doesn't take a large dose to be very effective. Usually a drop or two will be very sufficient to do its job. Just so the tongue doesn't need a long, long speech in order to be poisonous, but just a few words can do some devastating effects on a person's lives. Poisonous lies from the human tongue have destroyed many people's reputations. You know, if you think about the fact that Jesus was put there on the cross, it was simply through a series of lies that Jesus ended up there on the cross. That Jesus was put on the cross. He allowed himself to be put on the cross. It was a number of lies that contributed to the stoning of Stephen. Lies played their part in the murder of Naboth. It was that vicious tongue that slandered Joseph in the house of Potiphar. It was that vicious tongue that accused Jeremiah there before the king of Judah. And it was destruction for those people. Our tongue is concealed and a dangerous weapon. And it slips, most likely slips. Therefore, we must be constantly on guard with our tongue against the sins, whether it's profanity, whether it's lying, whether it's gossip, or simply unloving criticism. Criticism can be good, but if it's not done in a proper way, in a loving way, it's destructive, very destructive. So let's be alert. Let's crucify the natural man in us and pray often, as the psalmist says, Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Then as we go into the last verses of the chapter there, we see the inconsistency of the tongue. The next four verses here, verses 9 to 13, James shows us the good use of the tongue, blessing of God, and also the bad use of the tongue, cursing of man, and the wrong, the ridiculous of doing both with the same tongue. Verse 9 to 10, we read, therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, who are made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Again, he's talking to brethren. The same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. God forbid that we use our tongues to curse people. But we speak blessings. We speak life into the lives of people. Bless God. Praise Him with love and gratitude. Curse men. We simply pronounce damnation upon people and evoke evil upon them. I believe curse men means more than using profanity. It simply means or wishes bad luck and disaster on people. We're made in the image of God. We're made in the likeness of God. And even though the image was marred by the fall, we should have a great concern for fellow human beings. It is inconsistent to praise God with the tongue in one moment and then at another wish a curse upon a fellow man. He asks a question there in verse 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? James illustrates the inconsistencies here by simply saying that a fountain does not send forth the same opening sweet water and bitter. You know, we can go to a source of water. We can go to our sinks or and open the faucet, and we get good water. Usually there's not good and bad water coming out of the same source. Therefore, our lives and our tongue should be consistent in bringing words of life, words of beauty, words of healing to those around us and those we converse with. Verse 12, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Neither a vine figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. There again, he uses a natural illustration. Olives and figs were common fruits back in the Bible land. And each fruit, each plant, brought forth the fruit that it was intended to, that it was created to, for. In our day, apples trees, they produce apples. Peach trees produce peaches. We plant different vegetables in our garden. We know that what they're going to produce. So it is. The tongue is expected to be an organ of truth and an instrument of divine praise. But sadly, it becomes an instrument of strife. Sometimes it becomes an instrument of strife. It becomes an instrument of contention, an organ of blasphemies. And this indeed is very, very inconsistent to what James is teaching here. It can be unruly, but it can also be a source of blessing that will refresh the lives of others. Just as that cool fountain of water in verse 11 on a hot day and a shade tree in verse 12 are inviting and refreshing, so are words. Our words can prove to be a blessing to others. Our prayer and our aim should simply be, take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. So in conclusion this morning, how do you find yourself? Do you find yourself being inconsistent in life, in our humanity? I'm sure every one of us could acknowledge the fact that we are inconsistent with our tongues at times. But I praise God this morning that we have the answer. The Holy Spirit who convicts us and guides us and directs us. Malachi chapter 3 verse 16 says, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him that for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Speak often one with another. And I think that is as we converse with each other, speak words of wisdom, words of life. Hebrews 3 verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of wicked. Exhorting one another. Speak life. Speak life, not death. Speak joy, not pain. Speak courage, not despair. Speak healing, and not hurts. Speak truth, and not destruction. And I believe if we exercise that in our conversation and in our lives, that we can have a consistent life, speaking truth and speaking life into those that we are in contact with. To our brothers and sisters, our families, and even our neighbors, our human nature and our humanity, it's pretty easy sometimes for us to simply to speak negative about the things we hear from people, of people. But I'm convinced and I'm sure this morning that as we think about the fact of speaking life, it brings a total new life into those that we speak into, the lives that we speak into. So may our encouragement, may our prayer be this morning, again, as David said, set a watch before me, O Lord, and that can be our prayer, and as we go forth, we can be a blessing to those who are around.